All right, a good practical example of carrying each other's burdens would be for people to come alongside them and help hold their hands up, but that's up to you guys. All right, well, good morning, everyone. I haven't been up here yet this morning, so it's kind of nice to just come up at this point. So good to see you all this morning. I'm excited you're here, glad you're here. We're going to start, I'm going to kind of preface it, but we're going to start with a little video clip. Someone set a timer. Will someone set a timer for them for me, please?
I got it.
Good, thank you, fam. We're going to start with a little clip from a movie called Click. And I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. It's an Adam Sandler movie. And I used to love Adam Sandler movies. I've grown a little tired of them because they're all very similar, I think, in a lot of ways. But Adam Sandler, if you've seen an Adam Sandler movie, like I said, if you've seen one, you've kind of seen most of them, I think. But this is a little unique. The premise behind Click is that this gentleman, Adam Sandler's character, is an architect, and he's trying to build his career and further himself financially. And by doing that, he sacrifices a lot. He gives up a lot of family time and being at home and those kind of things and those relationships. But he ends up in possession of this remote, this universal remote control. And it's unlike it's different than your universal remote control in that it controls his surrounding universe. So he can fast forward through parts of life that he finds boring. He can mute his wife's best friend when she's yelling at him for whatever, right? And he can pause moments in life and that kind of thing. And so this remote allows him to control the world around him. And so That gives him a unique perspective on the world, but also has ramifications. And we're going to watch just a quick clip this morning that shows what is kind of some of the ramifications. What is the outcome of spending so much time running through life, fast-forwarding through life, and sacrificing some other things? So let's watch this clip from Click.
It won't take you there.
Take me where?
To the moment he died. You weren't there.
Of course I wasn't. Can you take me to the last time I saw him, please? Hey, Dad.
Sorry to bug you. Would you mind looking at my shopping mall design again? This one is cheaper. But if you check this out, you'll see it has a much better natural flow.
Cheaper one. Like I said, now just let me do my email.
Yeah, you're right, Dad.
He ain't right. You're a schmuck. Better. Look at it!
Surprise! Hey, Grandpa.
Oh, my God. When did you get so handsome? So, Michael, I had a wonderful idea. Your mother's playing canasta with her friends tonight. I thought, oh, what a great opportunity. You, me, and Ben should go and have a boys' night out.
Can't.
What do you mean you can't? You have to eat sometime. We could go, we could whistle at pretty girls.
I'm down for that.
See, he's down. I don't know what it means, but he's down.
Hey, please.
Don't give me that finger. I'll make you a deal. If you come, I'll show you the quarter trick.
Will you look at the man?
I'll tell you the secret.
No, Dad.
Don't you want to know
how you do the stupid trick? I've always known. Can you let me do my work?
You've always known.
You're pathetic.
I'm so sorry I barged in. I love you, son.
See you later, Grandpa. I love you.
Dad.
Bob.
Bob.
I love you, son. I love you, son.
I love you too, Dad. I'll miss you. You know that.
I don't think, at least for myself, we often slow down enough to evaluate a lot of things in life. I know lately, especially, I feel like I've enough time or enough energy to focus on what's happening today, right? I don't worry about what's happening tomorrow. I don't feel like I can even think about Friday. I am worried about today and getting done today. Last week, I think it was Thursday, I feel like my kids are too young. I felt like I was running from here to drop a couple off, going here, grabbing another one, going here to get something else done. And in the midst of all that, I run to Dollar General because when we're only focused on today, we go to Dollar General, right? Because that's there and that's what we go to and stuff. And I realized I wanted to can some jalapenos, and I grabbed, I didn't have vinegar and I didn't have canning salt, which is kind of important. And so I run to Dollar General, grab that stuff, run home, get it all thrown together, again, focusing just on what I can get done. And what I end up doing is I end up getting them all done, putting them in the water bath, and I start pulling them out of the water bath after they're done. I set them on the counter right in front of my unopened can of canning salt. You don't need canning salt to can jalapenos, right? That's not an important ingredient. But I ended up having to redo them all, and so I put the, anyway. So hopefully they turn out. If I offer you jalapenos, just be a little weary. I don't know how they're going to turn out. But that, we just get so caught up and focused on what's in front of us that we sometimes fail to plan or sometimes fail to reflect on where we're at and taking a step back. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to take a step back and we're going to process this. We're kind of in the midst, in between sermon series and that kind of stuff this morning. So just as a standalone kind of message, focusing on where we're headed, what we're going, and why we're doing what we're doing, and why we're going the path that we're going down. Again, and hopefully most of us are thinking a little bit at least about the eternal, looking at beyond this life, but even if we're not, at least looking ahead to where we're going and why we're going where we're going. And so we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, if you have a Bible, there's some Bibles in front of you. If you have a phone and a Bible app, feel free to grab that out. We're in Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at just a few verses in verses 7 through 10. And so I'll give you just a second to find that, and otherwise it will be on the screen as well. But Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whoever sows, whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith." Will you pray with me this morning? Let's pray before we jump any further. Gracious Father, we just thank you for your words. We thank you for the message that Paul is giving us this morning. We just pray for your Spirit to remind us of where we're at, to remind us of where we're going and the things that we're doing. And I just pray that especially if things are going well for us now, if things are going even okay for us now, we stop and we reflect a little bit on who you are and where you want us to go. Pray for this message. We pray for your word to be spoken in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. And so looking at this passage and looking at what Paul, this author Paul, is saying to basically new believers in Galatia, is he's saying first and foremost that don't kid yourself, right? Don't kid yourself. He says God is not mocked, which basically is saying that God, you can't trick God. You're not going to get one by him, right? And I don't know what they were doing and why Paul said that specifically to them, but you're not going to sneak one past. Things are going to work out the way they're going to work out. God can't be tricked. Okay, and he says a general truth, which we call a lot of times a proverb, when he says, when you sow, you're going to reap what you sow, basically. You're going to get what you deserve. Things are going to work out that way. That's the way the world works. It's not a karma, because karma likes to think of things as a universal truth, right? We say, you do something good, you're going to get something good. You do something bad is going to happen to you. That's karma. That's a universal truth in a lot of ways. But that's not the world. That's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying this is a general truth. right? Because we all know when we do something on this end, we sow something good, it doesn't mean we're always going to get something good, right? We all, you know, we say bad things happen to good people and those kind of things. But in general, Paul is saying that when we sow something, we're going to reap something. And he goes into specifics. He says that when we sow something of the flesh, right, when we give up to the desires of the flesh, the physical things of this world, he says we're going to reap corruption. Other translations say destruction or death and decay. And so what I think of is what I think of from last fall is because it was warm then, like it feels like it is now, we carved our jack-o'-lanterns last year, right, and we put them out on our stoop, or stoop, who says stoop anymore? Anyway, on our steps or on our, wherever we put them out there. And it didn't seem like it was very long, and all of a sudden those pumpkins, those nice, beautiful jack-o'-lanterns that we spent hours and hours on, you know, I'm sure, were flat, right? They were so warm and everything else that they just crunched down, and then they become gross, and I used a shovel to move them because I wasn't going to touch them. So it's gross. But, you know, that's what I imagine is he's talking about. When we sow things that are fleshly, that are physical, that are desires of our natural and tendency, and that's possessions, that's earthly things, that's physical things, that's phones and cars and all those money and all those kind of things, when we sow in those things, when we invest in those things, what we're going to end up is flat pumpkins, right? We're going to be gross, nasty, and that's too far in the metaphor. All right, so, you know, we're going to, it leads to that corruption, it leads to that decay. And that's what Paul is saying, is that when we focus on those things, that's what ends up happening. But he says when we sow spiritual things, when we sow things in the spirit, the positive things, the things that are of God, the list that Steve read in his communion meditation, you know, self-control and the godliness in that as well, you know, we're going to sow spiritual things. And ultimately, he says we're going to inherit or reap eternal life. And that's eternal life beyond this world. That's eternal life that continues forever. But it's eternal life that starts for those of us that are followers of Christ now. That once we accept Christ, once we have that relationship with him, eternal life starts then and moves forward. And so when we sow in the Spirit, those things are going to lead to things that are eternal, things that are important for us now, that lead into eternity. And so in thinking about that, Paul even goes further and fine-tunes this even further in verse 9 of what does this look like? What are some of those spiritual seeds? And some of the one of the things at least he says is we need to remember to keep doing good, or do not grow weary, he says. Don't grow weary of doing good. Continue to do good, to continue to serve others and to love others, to come underneath them, to give them the things that that God wants us to do for him. And he's not demanding, and he's not saying that if you don't do good things, you're not going to get eternal life, because we know that it's not, that's not the way it works. We don't get eternal life by the things that we do. But he says, do these things because it's a part of the whole process. Okay? And so he says all of this, and he says, do it in two ways. He says, do these good works, one, while you have the opportunity. Okay, which doesn't mean that on Friday afternoon you realize, oh, I've got 2 hours, I'm going to go do good. I've got time, I'm going to go do good, right? Or if things work out Saturday afternoon, if it's not, you know, if I don't have this to do or too hot or anything like that, then I'll go do good, right? That's not what he's saying. He says while you have the opportunity means now, right? Do it now, do it while you can, because we all only have so much time. We all only have so much opportunity in our world. So take advantage of when, you know, those available times, those available opportunities, which is now. Constantly, always looking for those good things that we can do. And he says, lastly, to do it and focus on the household of God. Focus on the household of God. And those, that's not this building, as nice as it looks, and I appreciate those that have decorated for fall. It looks so great in here, but it's not necessarily about this building. It's really less about this building as much as it's so much more about the people here. And so if you want to focus for those good things, if you want to focus for the way we serve, look around. See the people behind you and in front of you and across from you within this community of faith, but also within the larger community of faith that we serve with, the people around town, the other people that have relationships with Christ. Those are the focus of our good works and our good deeds. Not that others don't deserve it, not that we shouldn't love others, but those are our primary focus, Paul says. And so this morning, what I want to do is, as we reflect on this and work through this, I want to ask you three questions. Just three simple questions, pretty simple questions, and that'll be all that we do this morning. So the first question is what happens if we only sow occasionally? Okay, I was gonna call in my farmers. I won't do that. I won't embarrass you guys to do this. But if you farmers and my, you know, I consider myself an amateur gardener, I guess, at this point. So it's, eventually I'll go to pro. I don't know when, but someone will pay me, I'm sure, eventually for it. But you know, those that work in the ground, especially farmers. If we were only gonna work and sow in their fields, and I would say sowing is more than just scattering seed, right? It's kind of the whole process until you can harvest it. If we only did that 1 hour a week, right? And I don't, you guys aren't going to yell a number, I'm sure. But how many acres could we sow and get a harvest from in 1 hour a day? We'll say 1 hour a day, right? For me, I look at my garden and I spent way more than an hour a day on my tiny little garden. You know, so I was thinking, you know, an hour a day, maybe I could do like two tomato plants and a couple of pepper plants that I could sow and bring to mature, if I'm lucky. That may be even stretching it. But, you know, if we're only spending so much time, if we're only sowing so much time into things, we're only going to reap so much time. We're only going to reap so much benefit. And so I just, thinking about that and thinking about our investment, what are we putting into it is what we're going to get out of it. It's kind of like the two gentlemen, and they go into this, you know, Ipava State Bank, and they go in and they say, they're both investing money. One, and they're going to get 6% interest, which I thought was an incredible number. Maybe I'm wrong, but that seems like a real, they're getting real good interest. But one's investing $100,000, and one is investing $50,000. And so they invest them for a year at 6% simple interest. The one with $1,000 goes in and gets $6,000 back at the end of the year, which, again, I thought would be awesome. We figure out a way to get that system. But he gets $6,000 at the end of the year, and the one that put 50 only gets $3,000, right? If the one that gets the $3,000 who invested only $50,000 into the bank, into that interest fund, whatever it is, he's not going to go in and say, well, where's my other $3,000, right? That'd be ridiculous for him to go in and say, he got $6,000, I only got $3,000, where's my other $3,000, right? You know, they might laugh at them at the bank. I don't know. They don't do that at the bank. But they might do that, and they might say, you're crazy. Why? What do you mean your other $3,000? But I think I do that spiritually. I think I want $6,000 worth of reaping when I've only invested the $50,000. And hopefully we're not losing the metaphor here. But, you know, we look and we say, I want this, and I want this, and I want this spiritually, and I want my life to look like this. But when we're sowing, only occasionally, when we're only sowing maybe an hour a day or an hour a week, and those are just random numbers, but only sowing so much, we're not going to reap the things that we want. And that being said, I just want to throw out, you know, we have the personal sowing that we do, right? Whether it's sowing, you know, we say, read your Bible, pray every day, and we could sing the little song, and we could, you know, grow, 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 or we could shrink, right? We could do that. We're not going to. But, you know, that idea where reading your Bible, pray every day, to me, that's just plowing the field, right? I love this metaphor. You're just plowing the field. That's all, you know, you might be scattering a few seeds with that. And, depending upon the time and the different, there's different levels of different things, but, you know, to me, that's the basis. We should be reading our Bible. We should be praying every day. That is the basis of our sowing so that we can reap some spiritual benefit. But there are so many other resources available to us, especially with internet. And the internet can be used for some terrible, awful, horrible things in our world, truly evil things. But one of the huge benefits that we have can be the community that we can build together, the resources available from other great preachers and pastors and speakers, resources like books and different things that we should be investing, we should be sowing ourselves into. If you are only listening to me, I am really sorry for you, to be honest with you. If this is the only sermon that you hear in a month or whatever, you know, or then every week, that's okay, I guess. But there are so many great pastors. I listen to myself, I guess, but, you know, I listen to as many as I can. And so the more that we can hear, the more that we can receive is more spiritual seeds being sown so that we can spiritually reap. And there are other resources available, a little plug for Sunday school. Every Sunday when we're done here in a few minutes, there is going to be treats downstairs, and there's going to be fruit downstairs. There's going to be some coffee, which I'm looking forward to. I have my own coffee pot all of a sudden. I don't know where that came from, but I brew it myself. So that's where it came from. But, you know, we have our, you know, I shouldn't say that. No, we've got things available food-wise, which is hopefully tantalizing to you. But we also have community down there, right? A relationship. And the personal study's great. Reading our Bible, prayer every day, spending that time and reading books or whatever. But the community time is important, too. Spending that time sharing thoughts, discussing things, building up in a Bible study or whatever it is, that community aspect is an important part of sowing seeds as well. And so we have Sunday school, again, just in a little bit here this morning. We've got family nights starting up on Wednesdays. Man Up meets, Soul Sisters meets. There's different things throughout the year, prayer meetings. I encourage you to be participating in that as much as possible. The more we're in together, the more that we invest, the more seeds that we're sowing in ourselves and in others around us. And so the first question then is, what happens if we only sow occasionally? And we fall into the trap of only doing so much. And we only have so much time and those kind of things too. But the second question is what have I reaped? What have I reaped? Because a lot of times we ask, what are we sowing, right? We look at where we're at and what we're putting in on this end. But a great way to reflect and to analyze that is to ask the question is, what have I reaped? What are we reaping? What are we experiencing? What are we getting out of our lives? There's a farmer who goes out and he says, I'm not going to plant any corn seeds this year. Right? I'm not going to plant anything this year. When God gives me some corn, then I'll go and I'll plant. So once I get something first, then I'll go and plant. Whereas if the farmer says, you know, that's obviously not the way it works. He's, you know, if he goes out every day and he says, hey, God, where's my corn? Hey, God, where's my corn? Why am I not getting anything? Well, he needs to look back and say, well, what have I sown? What have I planted? And that seems like a ridiculous example, but I do that. Again, I look and I say, well, where is my corn when I didn't plant anything? You know, and I look at my garden and, you know, I leave a lot of, if you look at my garden, there's a lot of tomato plants because I just get lazy and I just leave the tomatoes sitting in there when I pull the plants out. So I'll probably get some random tomato plants, but that doesn't usually happen, right? You don't usually get anything unless you've sown something. And so what have I reaped? What have I reaped? And I look at my life and I think of my family, right? And if you look at your story and you look at your situation, when I am bossy and crabby and yelling and demanding with my kids, I get five people that give that back pretty quick, right? And it's an environment that I create a lot of times. It's my response. It's my situation. It's my choices where I create this environment, and it becomes almost toxic at times. And I think a lot of times we stop and we don't realize that we're reaping something because of what we're sowing. And I sow those seeds, and I get that back. And we know, and I love this phrase. I found this quote this week. It says, a negative mind will never give you a positive life. A negative mind will never give you a positive life. And the whole idea behind that is that if we're always negative, if we're always sowing in these negativity or this bad mindset, negativity breeds negativity, we're never going to get the positive life that we want. We never get the joy that we want. And so finding ways and looking at the outcome can a lot of times show us what we're investing in on the other side. And the other thing I want to point out with this is that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And that basically says that if I'm hurt, I'm going to go and a lot of times hurt somebody else, right? No matter what it is, whether it was a purposeful, unintentional, whatever, if I get hurt, I'm going to go out and hurt somebody else. That's a general rule, especially in recovery groups, is that that's our natural process. And again, whether it was purposeful or unintentional or not or whatever, that's just the reality of our lives. And so when I look at my life and I think of, you know, if when I get hurt, especially I receive and I don't react. I'm not a yeller usually. Once in a while at home, I'll yell. sorry, I'm laughing because I'm getting looks from my kids. So oftentimes I don't yell in response. But, you know, especially, you know, but at the same time, I'll push away or I'll write people off or I'll do something different, you know, when I disagree or when we don't have things. And so I'll go my own way. And the problem is when I do that, as a response in my anger and my frustration, a lot of times that reaps loneliness. And it reaps further frustration. It reaps further anger. And so when we look at that, and I look at The reaction of it, why am I lonely, why am I frustrated, why am I angry? Well, it goes back to how I treated somebody else. It goes back to the hurt that I have back here and the sowing that I've done with that. And so what are we reaping, or what have I reaped, is a great question to ask and seeing where what we've sown in the past. And the last question we'll wrap up this morning with is, what are we left with, or what's left? The idea of what's left. And again, I think a way of asking this question is, what's the most important thing in our world? What's the most important things? And I appreciated the clip this morning, especially as a worldly, secular movie. They get this idea that relationships are important. They get that family is really more important than anything else around us, right? And I would argue that all relationships are more important than anything else. And so it's amazing to me, again, that a movie can get that a character, that Adam Sandler and his character understand that after he has to go through his life and realize that. But Jesus taught that all the time. That was the most important thing that he taught us. You know, when we see the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Basically, he's saying that you can do those two by really doing just the second one. We love God by loving others. We love God by loving others. And in John 13:34, Jesus summarizes it this way. He says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And if we look at Jesus and we look at the love that he has and this command, he says, if we're to love like Jesus, the only place that we need to look is the cross. And the sacrifice and the service that he gave through his death is the same kind of love and service that he wants us to give to one another. Paul summarizes Jesus in Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says the whole law, everything in the Old Testament, everything that Jesus said, everything comes down to you should love your neighbor as yourself. And that's how we fulfill that law. That's all that's left. The things that we're reaping, the things and the benefit that we have should be relational, should be those community, the community that we have together. And we see here in Galatians chapter 6, the last verse there in verse 10 that we read, he says, the first and foremost, the place that our love should flow the first is the community, the household of faith. And so as we close this morning, I just want to leave us with a kind of a poem. I don't know, I'd call it a poem in some ways, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I say that slowly because I struggle with his name for some reason. So Ralph Waldo Emerson gave us this poetic look at reaping and sowing. And he says this, you sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character, and you sow a character and you reap a destiny. And so it all really starts with a thought that we get, something that we want to do or something that we're choosing to do, and that thought can turn into an action. Say giving to the poor. We'll say that as an example. You know, if I decide that I'm going to give to the poor and I take that thought and I sow it, what is going to come out is I actually go and do that. And if I do that over and over again, I act that out over and over again, it becomes a habit, right? I do it regularly, every day, every week. I do that regularly and long enough, it becomes a part of who I am, right? People say, oh, he gives to the poor, oh, he sacrifices and does this. That's a character trait. And eventually, as our character's developed over a lifetime, we sow that character, and eventually we get our destiny. We get our future. We get a legacy. And so what it all starts with, what it all begins with, in order for us to have a destiny, that life, that eternal life that Paul's talking about here, it starts with sowing a thought. It starts with sowing something, a good deed, something that is godly, something that is focused on him, a spiritual seed that can grow into an action, that grows into a habit, that grows into a character, that grows into a destiny. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his example and the cross that he bore for us. We pray that we take steps and move towards you. Help us to find ways to sow those spiritual seeds. There are so many different ways to sow spiritual seeds, in personal ways, in community ways, in ways in our community, in ways in this congregation. We just pray that we take steps to sow spiritually. And so help us to reap the benefit of eternal life, but also the reaping the benefits of spiritual contentment, of spiritual joy, emotional and relational joy as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, the worship team is going to come forward. And we're going to take an opportunity, and we're going to stand, and we're going to sing, and we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. If there's a spiritual seed that needs to be sown, if there's a prayer that needs to be prayed, if there's a decision that needs to be made, we're going to be singing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." So if you'll stand with us this morning, we'll sing.